And we're going to hear a talk on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. This is the fourth talk in the seminar. And it's going to be given by Rose Walderman. Rose?
Hi, everyone. Very happy you're here tonight. So I'm going to talk to you about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. First of all, I've been a member of Lighthouse since the mid-1990s. And before I went through the seminar, I would have been saying, the Holy Spirit, who is that? But now I'm very aware that we are a temple of the Holy Spirit, and He's actually living inside of us, and His spiritual gifts work in us and through us. I also learned that the Holy Spirit is a person. He's not a force or some source of energy, because when you think about it, you can't have a personal relationship with energy. But you can have a beautiful relationship with the Holy Spirit. God gave us four gifts in particular to make us more like Him. They are our memory, our intellect, our free will, and our emotions. And these are part and parcel of who we are. So in regard to the gift of memory, does that mean with this gift we won't be so forgetful anymore? Well, not exactly. It means the Holy Spirit will enlighten our memory. He may enlighten us to things that we were taught in the past that really speak to us now, or He may enlighten us to things we need to rectify. For example, when I went to morning mass with my grade school classmates all those years, it made a big impression on me without my even realizing it. I knew that the church was a very special and holy place where we should be quiet and respectful because God was there. My parents always had a crucifix in every room of our house, and especially in the living room, they had a crucifix displayed very prominently over the fireplace mantle. And so simple things like this were ingrained in my memory and taught me that God was important and that He was to be loved and worshiped. So I now see how this made an impact on my whole life. God gave us seven sanctifying gifts of the Holy Spirit, and to sanctify means to make holy. These gifts help keep our memory, our intellect, our free will, and our emotions in a good and holy order. The seven sanctifying gifts are wisdom, understanding, knowledge, counsel, fortitude, piety, and fear of the Lord. Jesus won these holy gifts for us when He died on the cross, and they are meant to undo the work of sin. Sin makes us blind to evil. It darkens our intellect, so we can't perceive the truth, and it weakens our will, so we can't do what we know is right. Baptism reverses the work of sin. You know, when a baby or a teenager or an adult is baptized, the Holy Spirit with His seven gifts descends into the soul and body of that person. And this begins the healing of the human nature. You know, I've heard people say that it's pointless to baptize a little baby because they have no idea about what's going on. But I heard a priest argue that point in a very good way. He said that when the Blessed Mother was pregnant with Jesus and she went to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who was pregnant with John the Baptist, Scripture tells us that the baby leaked in Elizabeth's womb. So that tiny unborn baby, who was John the Baptist, knew he was in the presence of Christ. So who are we to say that little babies, when they're baptized, don't experience God? When you are baptized in the Holy Spirit through this seminar, you have a whole new awareness of God. The seven gifts of the Holy Spirit are how the virtues of faith, hope, and love are lived out. With the gift of our intellect, the Holy Spirit will graciously give us four of the sanctifying gifts I mentioned earlier, and those are wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and counsel. Without these gifts, we are actually blind. That's why the Bible speaks about children of light and children of darkness. Actually, it's worse than being blind because we can become like beasts. Wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and counsel help our minds grasp everything that is true. First of all, God. the biggest mistake in our culture today is this whole idea of atheism. The Bible actually says you have to be a fool to be an atheist. In the book of Psalms, it states, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God. The gift of wisdom is knowing that there is a God and there is only one God." We come to understand that he is magnificent, beautiful, and that he loves us. He doesn't just tolerate us, he passionately loves us. With the gift of wisdom, we're able to understand our inner being, and we're able to see God's viewpoint or vision of the world. We also see how God wants to use us in leading others to him. With the gift of understanding, we learn our place and purpose in life. This gift enlightens us so we will not be confused. We begin to understand and accept each moment as it comes to us with faith and trust. In Proverbs 3, Scripture tells us, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding." Another gift of the intellect is the gift of knowledge. Knowledge helps us to judge rightly the place of created things. For example, we know we're not to worship trees. Instead, we worship God for his beautiful creation in trees. Of course, we need to respect the environment, but we don't worship trees or animals. St. John Vianney, one of the greatest priests and preachers of all time, said that if you remove the priest from the village, within one generation, the people will be worshiping trees. And he said that back in the 1800s. The gift of knowledge also helps us to discern God's will for our daily lives. The fourth gift of the intellect is the gift of counsel. With this gift, the Holy Spirit enlightens us on how to respond to his promptings and inspirations. It also gives us the ability to make good and holy decisions about our lives, and we're able to help others with their decisions as well. God also gave us a special gift of fortitude, so that our free will has the grace to say yes to what is good, even when it's difficult, and to say no to what is bad, even when it's attractive. Fortitude is inspired courage. It's not just being a brave man or woman. It's inspired courage where we are able to resist the temptations of the world. With this gift, we're able to endure hardships with patience and trust. So through the seven sanctifying gifts, our intellect, our free will, and our emotions are purified. And they're purified through the gifts of piety and fear of the Lord. The gift of piety perfects our love and enables us to love being in the presence of God and to worship him. It also helps us to see God's holiness reflected in other people and to love them. Regarding fear of the Lord, we can call it the gift of awe. It's a form of profound respect for the one whom we see as awesome. I remember our beloved brother Joe. He was a Marian brother and co-director of Lighthouse years ago with Sister Chris. He passed away. We miss him very much. He gave us an example of fear of the Lord. He said, "Imagine a man talking to a friend and saying, 'If I ever start smoking again, it would just break my mother's heart. I couldn't do that to her.'" So with fear of the Lord, we fear offending God because we love him so much. There's also many other gifts that the Holy Spirit bestows on us, and they are called charisms. And the word charism means gift. You are given a handout tonight on charisms, and I hope it helps you understand the many ways we can use our gifts just in our daily lives. A few examples are encouragement, administration, and hospitality. With the charism of encouragement, it's a gift of helping others to be motivated and to continue to grow, especially when there seems to be reasons just to give up. And St. Paul was known as the great encourager. He preached about thanking and praising God even while he was chained in prison. The charism of administration is being able to organize an activity so that everything happens in an orderly way. And Marianne is a perfect example of this charism because she uses the gifts that God has given her to coordinate this entire seminar. And then there's the charism of hospitality. the ability to treat guests or strangers warmly and make them feel welcomed. To put it simply, hospitality is making an outsider feel like an insider. So you can see how these charisms are things that we can live out in our daily lives. There are other charisms that you will witness in the weeks to come here at our meetings, or maybe you've already witnessed them if you've come to our Mass and Healing services. This includes prophecy, word of knowledge, or visions, and their purpose is to spiritually enlighten all of us. With these gifts, God chooses to speak a message through a person that needs to be heard now, at the present moment. A good example is the gift of prophecy, which means to speak for. And in 2 Peter 1, verse 21, sacred scripture tells us, "For no prophecy ever came through human will, but rather human beings, moved by the Holy Spirit, spoke under the influence of God." Regarding word of knowledge, that's when a person seems to know facts about a situation or a spiritual principle without knowing the information on their own. And I can give you an example of that. Years ago, I was in a praise and worship meeting, just like we are now, and we were all sitting quietly, you know, listening for God to speak through prophecy or knowledge. And I kept hearing in my head, just over and over, "I forgive you." I just felt like that wasn't just for me. I needed to share it. So I just got up to the microphone and I said, "I forgive you," and I sat down. And then after the meeting, a man came up to me and thanked me for saying that, because he said that on his way to the meeting that night, he felt like he had really hurt someone and he was asking God to forgive him. So we have to step out in faith when God calls us to use our gifts, even if it feels awkward or foolish. And we don't give up, because that's exactly what the evil one wants us to do. There is one gift that has been talked about a couple of times already, and that's the gift of tongues. And that's when the Holy Spirit prays through us in sounds that seem to have no meaning. And St. Paul talked about this gift in Romans 8. He said, "The Spirit comes to the aid of our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit itself intercedes with inexpressible groanings." So for me personally, when I'm praising God at our meetings, I praise Him by saying, "Jesus, I love you, I praise you, I adore you, thank you for the gift of life, you are my joy and my strength." But then I can only do that for so long, and then I run out of words. That's why I let the Holy Spirit work through me, and I praise Him in the gift of tongues. Praying in tongues is a love language between you and God. It's the perfect way to pray when we don't know how to pray for ourselves and others. And you will learn more about this gift later in the seminar. And no one gift is better than another. Each one of us have unique gifts that help us lead others to Christ. So with all these gifts that God bestows on us, we will experience the fruits of the Spirit, and that's the best part. They're mentioned in Galatians 5. They are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, who wouldn't want more of that in their lives? I know I would. So how do we grow in our gifts and use them? Well, most importantly, we should always set aside a block of time every day to spend time with God in prayer. Because how do you get to know someone? You spend time with them, right? Reading and meditating on scripture daily keeps us grounded in God's word. We can go to Mass, not just on Sundays, but as often as possible. We can spend time in Eucharistic adoration and just waste time with Jesus. So, in conclusion, I know I gave you a lot of food for thought tonight. At this point, you might be thinking, "Who, me, gifted?" Yes, you. I know it can be hard to believe that God wants to give us spiritual gifts, but if we don't believe, we're denying a great truth. God has chosen each one of us to do something only we can do and no one else. And He provides the strength, the grace, the insight, and the ability to accomplish what he asks of us. Eye has not seen and ear has not heard what God has ready for those who love him.